Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. And we have some more guests this week. We have Kyra.
I'm nervous for some reason.
You're nervous. Don't be nervous. And we have Adele. How are you going, Adele?
I'm good, thanks.
I feel Adele is feeling confident.
I need to finish this beer. I'll be right.
Don't tell them that we're drinking beer.
What? It's meant to be fun.
So, as ever, we have James, the chief editor of Cool Shit. How's your week been, James?
Yeah, it's all right. It's pretty quiet. I went to Liverpool at the weekend to watch Everton lose to Wolves, so I got lots of booing out. Which was fun. It was actually my 60th birthday present to my dad, and he told me just to not get him any more presents.
For a moment, I thought you were going up to watch Everton because it was your 60th, and I wouldn't have questioned it.
I feel 60 and I've got dodgy knees, but no, sadly not.
Okay, right, well, do you want to get into it?
Why not? Right, first up, actually, guess, unless you've already seen, how long do you reckon the longest car in the world is?
Wait, okay, like, can we just get the metric system right? What are we doing? Meters here?
I know the answer to both, so whatever you fancy.
Okay, I'm going 35 meters.
Okay, well, you ruined it then because that's bigger. Basically, a gentleman in Florida has got in the Guinness Book of World Records this week for the world's longest car after fixing up the previous world's longest car to make it 100 feet, complete with a swimming pool, golf course, and helipad.
It really does beg the question, why?
Well, this is basically the skeleton of a car that broke the record in 1986, which was, I think it was six Cadillacs put together, and he found it decaying in New Jersey, so bought it and decided to restore it to its former glory. And I get that still begs the question, why? And I think the answer is America, that's why.
What's he going to do with it?
I think it's going to be put in a museum, because...
Well, that's rubbish. Don't have... You like, the one thing you want to do with a limo is be driven around in a limo. You don't want to go to a museum and see a really long stretch limo. You want to hire it out for birthday party. You want
Apparently they're doing that as well. So we said you can get 75 people in there and have it for a party.
That's which feels. Sick.
If you actually see the pictures of it, it is like a huge, long corridor, isn't it? It's like you almost can forget that you're in a vehicle, apart from this very narrow.
Yeah, and it's got a golf course on it, so...
A golf course?
A little putting green.
And a helipad. What the why does it have a helipad?
Well, the original one had a helipad on it, and there was a picture of a helicopter on it, but there was no video of the helicopter landing, so I think it was a kind of big dick swing contest, and he wanted to prove that his one was better, so they actually landed a helicopter on it in real time.
Okay, look, real shit here. Like, if you were invited to a party on a moving 30-meter limo, would you go?
I'd be there, but I'm pretty tacky, and I feel like... That's my vibe. If this guy came and picked you up for a date, I think you would be impressed. I'd be there in the pool, on the helipad, whatever.
I mean, I'd definitely go. I think it'd be so much fun, right?
Well, who's invited me?
Maybe if you could get in contact with him, tell him that we may or may not be putting this in Cool Shit, maybe he might, invite us.
Yeah, Cool Shit does have that level of pull.
Adele, have you been in a stretch limo before?
I haven't, no. I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest.
Are you far too classy for that?
Probably. And also too tall. It'd just be a very cramped experience from start to finish.
You're sitting down. Get
your head out of the sunroof.
Also, where's it parked? Like, if it's parked in, like, deepest, darkest, you're going to get over there into, like, some industrial estate. It's not the kind of classiest affair.
I think the point with limos is that they pick you up. Like,
but this can't pick you up. Where's it going
to
park?
No, you probably go to it and then they drive back and forth. Yeah. at like an airport. Trip, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, no one wants to go to a limo park. But I think that's you want to go somewhere in a limo. You want to turn up, right?
But I think the whole point is it's impracticality. Like, it's not meant to be practical. It's just a kind of, why do they do it? Because they can, kind of thing.
How does this factor into your matrix of what cool shit is?
Because it's just weird. And for me, I don't know, cool shit sometimes is the shit that's really extra and unnecessary. Okay, I'll give a football example. when somebody does a skill and gets past somebody, that's not as impressive as when they do a skill just for the fuck of it, just to embarrass the other person. I feel like that's what this embodies to me.
I don't think it's going to embarrass, like, it's not designed to embarrass other cars. Like, it pulls up next to you, oh no, look at my Ford Focus, look at you and your big stretch 30-meter limo.
What does make me laugh though is it's got tinted windows, as if you're worried about people looking at you. How do you feel about robotic goats? Because as I'm sure you know, it was the annual International Robot Exhibition in Tokyo this week. You know that, don't you?
No, so tell us a little bit more about it.
So the International Robot Exhibition is like, it's this exhibition that people from loads of countries come to, and it's about robots. The standout was from Kawasaki, that motorcycle company that always sounds better when a Geordie says it, because they released a rideable robot goat called the RHP Bex, named after the Ibex goat species.
Now, I'm not sure if this is going to make it into Cool Shit this week, but if it does, then you need to watch the video, because I think it gives you a good indication of what riding this goat would be like. It's not a fluid ride.
It's so slow.
It is slow.
What's the point of this one?
So, I think that they do these things to show off where technology is going, right? So we are...
This is as far as technology is going. This is a pretty shit robot. It's not even moving like a goat.
I think that's the point. It's for transporting, like, goods and people, or for riding into battle very slowly with some dubstep playing.
Yeah, it's flexing, right? Yeah. It usually points you towards the future, and sometimes you see these things and you're like, whoa, I'm scared. Like, when I saw... For instance, Amazon doing their drone deliveries. It scared me. I thought it was possible. I could see the opportunity with it. I could see a future that I wasn't quite willing to live in yet. With this, it doesn't scare me. It doesn't point to a future yet that I can see. I just do not know what this robotic goat is pointing to.
If anything, I feel like I'm disappointed. Like, have you seen iRobot? Like, that's how I imagine robots.
Well, that's what you want robots to be like.
No, that's how I imagine them moving, like, being a bit more, like, lifelike. And this just, to me, looks like... I think I can make that, maybe.
Kawasaki is a motorbike company. Obviously, they have their hand in electronics. I guess for me, this isn't indicating where they're going with their technology. For the brand, I don't know how this is helping me understand Kawasaki any better.
Actually, that's a question. Kyra, what if a guy rocks up for a date with you on a robot goat?
There's absolutely no way I'm not jumping on the back of it, though.
So would you say overall it's a bit meh? So the Aurora Borealis, or Northern Lights to the simpleton, was visible in all its resplendent glory over Scotland last week.
So this is only good, right, if you knew it was coming, and that's the problem with the Northern Lights.
I think
some people did, like astrologists, or what do they do actually, but someone like that.
The picture that you've highlighted here of the Northern Lights over a beach in Scotland is pretty stunning. But I'm interested to know, like, is this a piece of cool shit? This is just Mother Nature.
That's why I find that kind of impressive. I spent so much time, my head buried in my laptop, trying to find, like, cool shit worthy art, and it turns out all you need to do is look up. That's kind of why I found that quite impressive. Admittedly, there's nobody that we can tag in this and say well done, but I still find it, I don't know, it's quite spectacular.
That boy or girl that got there and took the photo, like, you know, that is an endeavor there.
That's the point, that sort of opportunity for creativity can kind of arise in places where you wouldn't necessarily expect, and it doesn't have to be from your own endeavor forcing it. Sometimes it can kind of happen naturally, and then you're there to capture that moment.
Adele, is this cool shit?
Yeah, it's cool. Fucking cool. It's like seeing a shooting star. You don't expect it. You're looking out the window, you can't get to sleep at 1 a.m. It's the bloody Northern Lights in Scotland. That's cool for me.
Kyra, how do you feel about this story?
I think it's cool. I think I would find it more cool if it was here. Like, if I saw it, then I'd be like, wow, that was amazing.
But... Oh, what, you want it in London? You're like, yeah. Kyra's pissed off that this wasn't in London. Has anyone seen the Northern Lights?
Yeah, just now on my screen.
Well, that's Kyra's thinking.
But I wasn't there! No, I haven't.
Has anyone?
I have, yeah, faintly, in Iceland.
Okay, and how did you feel when you saw them?
Underwhelmed, but it was a very faint sighting of the Northern Lights. So I didn't see them like this. These pictures are
the
cool.
Pictures are better than the real life.
Better,
yeah,
than what I saw in real life. Yeah.
Were you going to Iceland to see the Northern Lights?
It's a school trip, classic school trip. Don't know if it's classic actually.
You went to a bougie
school. Yeah,
we went to Bognor Regis.
We went to Milton Keynes.
It's hardly the science museum. All right. Okay. Well,
let's put that in the maybe then.
We'll put it in the maybe.
So the one that I actually was interested in after watching the video was the Nissan Mini self-driving car that can deliver your ramen without spillage. And at start, I was like, what on earth is this? And then when I looked at it, I was like, this is genius. And I was like, that is selling a car without selling the car. E4's ramen counter. So it's a new gadget that will deliver your ramen to you without spilling. So it will break, but doesn't spill. And it's basically showing off the technology that you can have in cars so that when the car breaks, it's left for the...
See, I was put off by the cheesy promo, which feels very staged. Didn't make me feel like it was in any way real, but to your point, Adele, I think you're right. Like, as in comparison to the Kawasaki story, this points to me to the brand in a way that I can take that leap and understand why their technology is something that withstands.
Exactly, because otherwise all car adverts are them driving through the mountains, and I go, well, this isn't selling me anything. It's a car in the mountains. Whereas this, I'm like, hang on, they're talking about the brake pads. I get it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I find this more impressive than the goat, 100%.
So we've done this a couple of times. So a guy says, like, come to this restaurant, I've got this great idea for an evening out, and your ramen is then delivered to you by this little gadget. Are you like, this is the guy?
yeah, you could go a second date. But that doesn't actually exist, the little gadget.
Does it not exist?
I think it's just showing...
No, it absolutely exists.
I think it does exist.
Oh, I thought it was just for the advert to show how stable...
No, that's the point. They've applied whatever technology they've got in their new car, they've applied it to this tiny little robot on like a sort of micro scale to demonstrate how smooth it is braking.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, sorry, are we falling for this? What problem does it solve? Like, how often do you brake in a car and smack your head on the steering wheel?
I don't know, but if you could brake and actually have a bowl of ramen in your hand, yeah, and it didn't spill, I'd say there's some pretty banging brakes,
right?
That's
gonna stop all those pranks, you know, people break the car suddenly, so people throw ice creams in their face.
Kyra, you're furiously pointing to a story that you wanna highlight. Let's talk about it.
Well, let's start with a question.
Okay.
Do you squat, James?
Do I squat?
Do you squat?
What do you think?
I'm going to go, no.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you squat? Are you like,
I don't think about my buns that much. No, but it's become more trendy, isn't it? For like guys to have big buns, right?
Big cheeks
like,
up.
Sometimes you look at a guy and be like, oh, he's got a cute bum. Like, I think it's becoming more and more of a thing. And so Vice have highlighted that butt-enhancing underwear is more popular than you think. So there's a rise in guys buying padded underwear.
Okay, so are we encouraging body dysmorphia then? What's wrong with men's flat arses? Well done, Kyra. It's 2022. sort yourself out.
All right, so what? We're saying this isn't... It's not...
I actually quite like it.
It's up for discussion because, you know...
It is interesting because if that is... kind of indicative of, I don't know what trend, but potentially a trend in kind of Gen Z, next gen consumer behaviours and the things that we as a generation give a shit about.
If a modern body shape is decreeing that that's what suddenly is, you know, attractive, then I'm sure that there are some guys out there going, oh, my bum's really flat. And if that's going to make these guys feel a little bit more confident, I'm all for it. Like, let them have their peachy little bum.
But
it'd make your arse look really perky while you're on top of your robot goat when he comes and picks you up.
So what you're saying, James, you don't want me to order you a pair of
buttons? Oh, no, I'll take them.
Please do. No. Order some for James. Yeah. So you can
wear them next
week. Well,
I've actually got a surprise for all of you.
Adele, did you have anything that you wanted to challenge any of the stories with this week?
I reckon, basically, they've designed a shield that makes you invisible, and it works.
Like Harry Potter?
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool.
It
so I need more details here. Can I put it on and essentially walk into a room unnoticed?
It's
and...
a plastic shield, sorry, so you carry it in front of you.
Is it a mirror?
No, it's not.
It's basically a slightly opaque window. But it does kind of work. It does kind of work. There were some shorts you showed me earlier, like where you put it up to the sea and it looked quite sick. But you wouldn't be able to walk in somewhere. Like if you walked in here right now, we think, why is Gareth? Why is Gareth crouching down carrying a mirror? it's quite impressive. It's worth having a look at. But again, it doesn't exactly solve a problem necessarily.
And also, that's not a problem we want to solve. People being,
able to see, yeah,
where we don't think that people are. No, that feels to me pretty creepy.
That's true.
I'm just going to the beach with my shield. Like, no, yeah. No, don't do that.
You can get change behind it. Oh, actually, it's got some good news, actually. Imagine if you had that awkward, like, leg hopping, trying to get your swimming costume off. No longer a problem. Duck down.
What about the people? What about the people behind you?
I feel like in about like 10 years' time, and this is if it's actually an invisible shield, then I'd be impressed. But I feel like, I don't know.
It's not an invisible shield.
It's not. You can't call that an invisible shield.
It's neither invisible nor is it a shield.
Yeah. Okay. What grabbed my attention this week? Madonna has brought, brings back a new version of her song Frozen, which is a 1998 song, and there has been a remix done where she's brought in Fireboy, but it was a remix originally that was created by a producer called Sidekick, and it just did really well on TikTok. Now, this is where I start to find this story interesting. I feel like Madonna is someone that has spanned generations, right? So Madonna is always trying to find ways to keep contemporary. Perhaps she's trying to find ways, perhaps it's just her natural inclination. Don't know Madonna. Essentially what I think Madonna's like, she's like Coca-Cola. She's been there for everyone over lots of different generations, but every now and again she updates the can and reevaluates, like, you know, how the taste appeals to people. But what I found was interesting with this is that she's lent into the popularity of that TikTok remix, has brought in someone to be on that, it seems to be doing pretty well. It's got a high production value video against it. It's pretty creative. I just thought it was another way of showing how Madonna stays close to what is contemporary. Discuss. James, you don't look happy. You are literally making a face that no one at home can see, or in their office, or in their car, or wherever you may be. James is grimacing. Let's hear it, James.
So what is it? So she released a song in the 90s, and now she's released it again.
It's blown up on TikTok, a remix of an old song.
Which is, yeah, you put it on something the other day, didn't you?
I think you're giving Madonna too much credit, to be honest, in your kind of foreword in her biography there. I don't know if she is kind of seen as contemporary. Admittedly, this might be, but is she really going to get any heat from this? Because I swear there's so many songs that go big on TikTok and they're just sounds. Like, do they do much with the artists themselves, or?
I think if it's a rising artist, sometimes that's where they get their like foot in the door, and that's when like people start hearing about them. But I think with Madonna, I don't know if this is going to do much for making her more relevant.
So for again, what I find interesting about this story is the producer Sidkick, yeah, he's done something cool here. He basically takes known tunes and remixes them on his YouTube channel. They get used a lot on TikTok, but he's highlighted what is like, it's a really good song. Like, I think the song is really good. It was always quite a future facing song anyway, even then in the 90s, and he's taken that and he's given it a new lease of life. I think it's right that Madonna's recognised that. That's where it's interesting. She's recognised his work, yes, because it's popular, but B, because it's good, right?
I feel like every time she's been in the conversation recently, it's always kind of embarrassing, like when she started getting on Drake and stuff. I don't know if the public perception of her is great at the minute, to be fair.
No, and you're right in that she's getting a lot of heat. She's getting a lot of heat about the way she looks, about trying to act too young, about the way that she's perhaps having plastic surgery, but also I'm thinking, like, fuck it, let her live her life. Like, so what? Like, is that because she's a woman? Is that because she is perhaps the last megastar left on the planet that is, you know, from that Michael Jackson, Prince era, and she's still left standing and she's doing her thing? I think there is probably a lot of misplaced criticism by the very virtue of the fact that she's still there and she's a woman and she's doing it.
Do you like the idea of somebody reliving what they had in the 90s?
I don't think that it is. I think it's updating, it's reimagining, it's remashing, which is where culture's at.
To be fair, I didn't know that it was Madonna that, like, I didn't know that she wrote that song or that she was singing that song.
That's right, and also, so maybe this generation that are on TikTok, maybe they're so far detached now from what people know about Madonna and her reputation that they're just judging this just for the song rather than thinking it's a Madonna song, therefore blah, 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 all this stuff about her in the past. It's just a song to them. So this could be a way of kind of tapping into a completely new audience.
Yeah.
James, I think we've had quite a discussion here. What stories do you feel that could be challenged. What stories do you feel that you originally had in your list that feel a little bit weaker now they've had a little bit of interrogation?
Probably the GOAT, to be honest. especially because I'm slightly sold on the noodle robot now, and I don't want to do too much robotics, and that one actually serves a purpose, whereas the GOAT doesn't. I want to leave the lights in, the Northern Lights, just because I think it just looks so impressive that it's worth leaving in there, and because I don't think all of the stories in Corset have to be consistent. It's kind of nice to have a bit of variety, including a bit of nature in there.
I agree. Like, something that's naturally inspiring is just as inspiring as anything else. So, yeah, no, I'm with you on that point. Anything else that any of us has brought to the table? Like, you're literally just bathing in your own fucking stories there, mate.
No, I said the noodle robot. Okay, well, let's go through them. So what have we got? Invisible shield that isn't invisible. No.
Butt pads,
maybe, because it's kind of interesting. So it's between butt pads and Madonna. Should we put it to a vote, or...?
Yeah, okay, we haven't done this. Exciting. Episode 3, we're putting it to a vote. There's 4 of us don't know how this is going to work.
But I won't vote then.
Well, that's tricky, because I would have initially said butt pads, but now I'm thinking for cool shit, I'm maybe Madonna.
So what's your answer?
Madonna.
Okay.
Okay, I think I'm going to have to stick to my own story, so I'm going to say butt pads.
And this isn't because I'm sticking to my own story, but evolution of TikTok, the way we make music, icons and how they fit into today's pantheon of culture. I'm going with Madonna and the remix of Frozen. So, James, are you going to stand by that?
I might do, I'm sure. I feel tomorrow. But yeah, let's go with that. I think it's probably more cool shit worthy. And considering a lot of them are quite novelty, that one actually entirely isn't. So, yeah, I'll put it in.
So, if you want to find out which one of these stories makes it, James might change his mind. If you want to find out more about Cool Shit, what goes in each week, you can sign up to the Cool Shit newsletter. Where is that, James?
Oh, we did this last week.
www.zachagency.com/CoolShit.
There we go. Still saying www, like a man from the 90s. that's it then. Like, listen. Thank you very much, Adele and Kyra from Salford, I should add, from the Salford team. James, did you have fun?
Oh, I had a lovely time.
Always. Okay, we will see you all next week.